This puts a new twist on the new on the big. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, that was a great intro. Just trying to say, this puts a whole new twist on the big red button. I push a big red button when I start my show. Start the recording. I heard this little story about Trump yesterday. Was it yesterday? It was last weekend, but I guess it was. Whatever team it was that won something, I don't know what they won the Super Bowl. I don't know what they did. They won something. The Super Dome something, Sugar Bowl. I don't know what they won. First of all, I want to apologize. There's background noise. That there's a dryer. I think it's just a dryer. Washer, I think, is done. The dryer is running above my head. So if you hear something in the background, that's the rumbling is what that is. I can certainly hear it. You probably can't hear it, you know, if you're driving in your car or something. But if you've got your reduction earphones in, you can hear every little nuance of the show. You can hear every little vibration of my vocal cords. You probably can hear that rumbling in the background. I've got a little thing called it's called a gate. It's kind of like a squelch. If I don't say anything, if there's no noise, it theoretically it chops it goes to zero dB. So it's but the gate is kind of sensitive, so it will pick up back like when I activate it with my voice, and of course it doesn't chop off immediately because if I'm going to keep talking, it doesn't want to. It gets really annoying, but so you have to have a certain amount of time that it ramps in and ramps out. Get all that set up. So if there's any background noise, if I'm talking, you can hear it. But not talking, you can't. I don't think you can hear it. Anyway. I'll talk about the big red button here in a little bit. The important thing is what I have in my cup. I have my chai, of course, my chai with my Almond Joy creamer. I also have my homemade sweet tea that I just made yesterday, and it's very good. It's very good. No peaches in it yet. That'll soon be happening, though. I didn't put a splash of Joe Peach Tea in this one. I just did the thing. I've got some exciting news, though, we'll be getting to here in just a little bit. Some very exciting news about the show and some improvements that are being made, even just yesterday. After the show, I made some improvements. And so every day, hopefully, we'll have some improvements. After today's show, I'm going to try to work some things out so that I can do some a little bit better stuff with the live broadcast, both audio and video on Rumble. See how that goes, and as well as Facebook. I do have a Facebook page. It's just The News According to Me. It's all each individual words. If you just type that in, I wonder what happens if you type that in. Let's try it. Let's just see what kind of a search engine we have here. Where did it go? Is it on here? It's on here. There it is. It's a little slow. You have, I'm just going to type in The News According to Me. Go back here to search Facebook. See what she was. Was she what shows up? So we're going to, we're just going to talk about this. Where'd it go? I can't, my computer's a little slow this morning. I'm not sure what's going on with that. Probably take me all day to post this thing. We're on the break one now. We have The News. Oops, that's not how you spell the. That's a complicated word. News According to Me. Let's see. Oh, there it is. It shows it right there. It says it's me. That's you, it says. Let's go to my page, see what it says. That's not doing anything. So, yeah, in the background, you can hear all kinds of weird things happening. So, I'm going to adjust this cord. It's just driving me Okay, so here we go. Let's get on with the show. The big red button thing. I'm getting distracted. We have the big red button. Apparently, this ball team was there and in the Oval Office with, visiting with the president. And of course, everybody's all upset with this guy because he was like an MVP or something, and everybody knows who he is, and he's all upset, and they're all upset. What is this? This is that's only visible to me. Okay, because I did a little test video. That's fine. Well, I think that's going to work well. He even has subtitles on it. That's pretty cool. Okay, so anyway, they walk into the Oval Office, and Trump, there's this, I guess on his desk, there's this big red button. And it's just a box with a big red button on it. And this guy, of course, he asks Trump, he goes, so is that the one that launches all the missiles? I push that button and launches all the missiles. He goes, it just kind of goes, well, why don't you push it and find out what happens? The guy's afraid to push the button. He's like, I don't know. Well, if you want to launch a nuke, we'll find out. We'll find out. Why don't you push it? We'll all find out together. Well, he ends up talking him into pushing this button. So he pushes the button. This guy pushes the button. This could be the big red button. We could be launching nuclear, global thermonuclear war here. And he pushes the button. And within seconds, this administrative person walks in with a Diet Coke. That's pretty funny stuff. What is also, this president is actually, he has a sense of humor. And he has a sense of what, even timing-wise, he just made a speech someplace. Was it last weekend? He was doing a speech somewhere for something, some kind of an event. And he was talking about the Democrats. He was talking about Trump derangement syndrome. And it was one of the funniest things. I mean, I genuinely belly laughed. I can listen to the president. I don't really care to listen to the guy. And it's not that his voice is, it's not that he's, of course, the left would tell you that everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. And that's not, I'm a voice guy. I can detect that kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, that's not what it is. It's the way he puts his sentences together. It's an East Coast typical Long Island, Manhattan kind of. They're just this East Coast kind of vibe that you get from this guy. And it's not bad. It's just something I can't listen to because the English, the way it's put together, I don't connect with it very well. In fact, when I hear him talk, and other people say, well, he said this. No, he didn't. He didn't say that. He listened carefully to the way he put this sentence together. He didn't say that. I think this is why the media goes so nuts with this guy. Now, keep in mind, this is the guy who that the media loved. He was a darling of the media back when he was a Democrat. It wasn't until he started talking about the border and all going against some of the Democrat stuff. And you go against anything, the Democrat Party. This is one of the biggest problems with the Democrat Party right now. And this is why they're fighting against each other so badly, because they've allowed such a broad spectrum of weirdos into their camp, because they'll just take anything and anybody to win. And of course, now you have all this infighting going on within the party about who they're going to be and how they're going to define themselves, because they really don't know. You can't just be the party of, we're not Trump. That's not going to work after Trump is gone. And now Trump recently was asked about, well, are you going to run in 2028? I don't even think I can. I'm not sure if I can. It's not legally. Some say it's not constitutional. There's some other people looking at it. But he's not going to run again. Okay. 3 years from now, this guy's going to be done. Okay. He's going to be I think he's done now. I think he's just fed up with everything. He enjoys his job. He enjoys his work. I think he's ready to take a break and just do some things that he wants to do. it's just, you know, he's going to have 12 years in this political battle thing. Or what is it, right? Yeah, 12. He had, you know, the first year, the first term was 4 years. He had this interim term where he really, you know, didn't stop being president as far as a presidential candidate. And with regard to his family life, because he was fighting off everything that happened in the first term, plus he's trying to, you know, reorganize and look into a run for the second term. So he never really was able to just, you know, kick back and be and enjoy private life. So now he's got this second term he's dealing with. So he's now working he's going to have 12 years into this, invested into this. And I think he's ready to go home and feed the ducks. He won't feed the ducks, but I mean, he's going to, you know, do some things that he personally wants to do. Some get things that he enjoys with the grandkids and kids and grandkids. And probably soon to be great-grandkids. So it's one of those things that I think he's working on passing on his dynasty, if you want to call it that, his estate, everything he's got. He's working on passing all those things on. So as we, you know, as he looks into the future, I don't see him going another 4 years. Obviously, that'd be, you know, eight years from now. The guy's, what is he, 83 now or something like that? He's not going to go into his 90s with this. And he doesn't need to. And that's the thing. Some of the wacko Trump worshipers seem to think that this guy is just going to go on forever. He's not. And there's been decline since his first term. I'm not going to deny that. But it's not to the point where Joe Biden. I heard this thing. This was a. I probably should play this. It's just the only thing that I don't like about it is at the very end. I have to stop it at the very end because hopefully I can get it stopped before they do the cuss word thing. Memology 101. I really like Memology 101. He puts these little shorts out all the time. They're not shorts. They're actually just videos, about 2 minute long videos. And he just gets right to the point. Just plays these little snippets. They're awesome. And you know, the problem is he makes commentary or he'll play some kind of clip at the end as a kind of a part of a meme. It's kind of a video meme type thing. It's very popular. I think he's got, I'm sure he's got a million subscribers. Let's see what he's got here. Let's look at this and see what we've got here. But Trump is actually, he's very much with it, very much, you know, has his act together. He's not able to talk as smoothly as he used to, which I think it's what's hilarious about this is the way that Morning Joe was talking about Biden is almost kind of the way that Trump has actually aged. He's actually a better version of himself now because he's kind of calmed down, settled down. Toys with the media, does his thing, knows what he needs to be done. He's not really, you can tell he's more and more confident in him, who he is and what in his own skin. He's not, I think he always has been. You have to be to be doing the kind of business deals he's done and to be where he's at. You have to be basically your own man. You have to be very competent in your decisions and know what you're doing. And that comes out of making a lot of mistakes, by the way. And in the midst of that, because of that, now he's even more. You know, that's been honed to a razor's edge, in my opinion. And he's, you know, I think he, in his sleep, could probably make better decisions than Joe Biden could if he was fully awake with all of his medication on. But this was what was ridiculous about this. Let me see if I can find this. I'd like to play through all this. Scott Jennings was on, of course, CNN, whatever it was. He's a guest host or a guest on one of the panels that they have there. He talked about he talked about the I'm distracted. He talked about the cognitive decline of Joe Biden and how nobody was admitting to it. Nobody was talking about it. And now they're starting to deny it. There are still people who are denying it. I might play this video. This is actually 8 minutes long, and it's about six minutes of it is all video. You know, it's all video and audio of people standing up for Joe Biden and talking about how wonderful he is and how with it. You know, Mayorkas came out. He was asked about, oh, he's sharp. He's focused. He's, you know, he's in touch. You know, but big thing is, if you go into a meeting with him, you better be prepared. Like he's large and in charge in every meeting that they go to. And you know that's not happening. You know it's not happening. It didn't happen for the whole 4 years of his term. He never walked into a meeting and said, I'm the big guy, and here's what we're going to do today. It was always, what's the agenda for the day? I'm not supposed to be talking right now. They're going to get upset with me if I talk right now. He said that probably 1,000 times. Who's going to be upset with you if you talk right now? Who are these people behind the scenes? Let us know, Joe. Who's got the strings? We need to know. We elected you, not somebody to run you. But that's what's going on. And now you've got Jasmine Crockett. And everybody says, oh, this, it's code shifting. It's code shifting. People do that when they get in front of people that they, you know, they get in front. Because she uses this ghetto talk all the time. Every time she talks in front of one of her little groups that she talks to. She does this little impression of her ethnic group. But when you hear her talk otherwise, she talks very plain, clear English. She, under normal circumstances, she just talks like a normal person. But then she gets up to do a speech in front of her constituents, and she's all over that. They say, oh, it's just code shifting. Everybody does it. Everybody does that. Oh, it's not code shifting. It's called pandering. And she does it very well, and a lot of politicians do. I see it on both sides of the aisle. But the Democrats are masters of this. Everything they do is about race. It's not about policy. It's about race. She was making some comments about something that was going on the other day. They were talking about something on some kind of, Trump. It was about her, actually. Trump was kind of attacking her, saying, Jasmine Crockett is the future of the Democrat Party. He goes, she's very low IQ, blah, blah, blah. He goes on, really slams her. Never said anything about what color she was. But she came back with, well, he's a racist. It's just all about race with him. No, I think he's talking about what the things you say. Have you heard yourself? Have you listened to anything you've said? Of course, Ilhan Omar the other day told a reporter, was asking her some questions, and told the reporter to Brandon off, I guess you want to call it that. That's what you want to hear from your representatives. If my representative acted like that, I would say, you know what? You're not representing me now anymore. You've stopped representing me. You're representing yourself now. So let's just have a little discussion here and see and talk about who works for who. You work for us. Regardless of whether I voted for you or not, you still work for me. So just settle down. Don't make it about you all the time. It's not about you and your ability to wear the finest fashion clothes and look the part and do all the stuff and make all the speeches and get everybody all drummed up and supporting you. And because really, at the end of the day, the only power they really have, other than the bully pulpit, which is what they use more than anything, but mostly they use it for a campaign bully pulpit, campaigning for to stay in power, so to speak. The only thing that they have is their vote. That's all they have. But if you step outside of the party line on the left, you are ostracized. You are done. In fact, that's what happened to this guy who went to the Oval Office, pushed the big red button, and kind of enjoyed his time with Trump. And that was seen as, you're a turncoat. He's been called every name in the book. You're a house slave. You're a whatever. All these other things they're calling him now. Before that, he was looked upon as the ideal person. Now, folks, I'm telling you, we are in a race war right now. It's ramping up in the financial sector. What has happened now? And I'll talk about this a little. I got such good news that I want to get out there. In fact, I probably should be telling you about it now because you, hopefully all of you have not tuned out of the show yet. I got some great news. The great news is we have a call-in and text-in number that you can use. I figured out how to do this. It's through Google Voice. And of course, it's going to be, so if you're afraid of Google, just don't say anything, you don't want Google to find out about. Like as if they don't already know. It's through Google, this thing called Google Voice. It's free. I am shocked, actually, at how well it works for what we're doing here. There's a phone number you can call. It's a 574-379. I think that's what it is. Yeah, 379-8778. 574. Now, this is not toll-free. Most cell phones have a, you may have a cell phone that might charge you for doing texting or that kind of thing. It's not going to be free for this. For you, it's free for me, not free for you. If you want to do it free, anywhere in the world, in fact, you can. If you have internet service, you can go to Google Voice. I think it's just googlevoice.com. Let's see what it comes out to here, actually. It's got to be on here somewhere. Maybe it's just google.com/voice. We'll find out what it is here. Google Voice. I'm going to put in googlevoice.com and see what comes up here. Googlevoice.com. They've got to own that. It's got to go to the right place here. Let's see what happens to it here. It is a secure connection. It probably is going to go to Google and then go to it's Google Voice. How to? What is Google Voice? Google Voice.com. News. Google Voice. Let's see what we get when we go to here. No, it's just going to go Google Voice. Yeah. Okay. So this is how you get to Google Voice. You type in www.google.com/. Oh, this is going to go to my thing. Let me go back to this because I think it's going to go to the right place. Let's see what we do here. It's google.com/voice. So it's or of course HTTP. What is that called? Whatever. / www.google.com/voice. Now, I don't know. I think you can just go there and be a guest and you can sign in. You can type in a number and if that number, which is 574-379-8778. And you can text in, you can call in. What it will do is it will go to a voicemail and it'll say, say your name and then we'll connect you. You can use whatever name you want to. You don't have to use your own name. You can if you want to. You can use whatever name you want to. You can make up a name. You can be, Bubba Humbug. I don't care who you are. It doesn't tell me actually what your name is. So Google's using that information for some other reason. Maybe it will tell me what. I don't know. I've done some tests with it. I haven't seen where it tells me that. But it can also text that number, 574-379-8778. I'll be putting this in the show information as well. I'll put that number there. I'm sorry. It's not 574. It's 8812. I thought this was a 574 number. Well, that's interesting. 812-379-8778. I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong number. That's a pathetic mistake right there. I wonder if I should just go back and edit this. I feel so bad about that. The 812-379-8778. Boy, that's a It's a seriously, what does it say? Unlock. What does that mean? I'm not sure what that means even. Why that number would be unlocked. I don't know what that means. Here's the thing. I may or may not play your audio. Of course, I can't play your. Now it will play if you text the show, or if you text that number, I think there's a way I can play it with a computerized audio voice. I may or may not do that. Depends on what is said. Sometimes the computerized voice doesn't pick it up apparently, but supposedly it's supposed to be able to do that. I did it. It didn't seem to be able to. It couldn't put it into audio. I'm not sure why. But so I just did some test calls and test text messages. So you can get the app. There's an app for that called Google Voice. Just go to Google Voice in your app store, whether it's Android or an old Play Store, an Android, or the whatever you call it, the Apple Store. But you can also do it over a computer. So you can even make a phone call. Just go to that. Go to Google Voice. Go to google.com/voice. And it'll tell you how to do the whole thing. And you can punch in that number, and then you can actually make a phone call no matter where you are in the world. So you could be in Akashtan and be able to type that in to the interwebs. Go to google.com/voice. Type in 812-379-8778. And that will allow you to either place a voice call or place a text message. Which I can then, let me just say that gives me permission, by the way. But if you do that, it gives me permission to put it on the show. I will let you know, that's all in my disclaimer. So your voice may be on the show. And I should put that in my outgoing message as well, just so you know. But it is in my my information. So anything you put on there, I have the right to put on the show. Now, I may or may not edit it if there's something that... I need to bleep out or something like that, whether it's, any kind of personal information or sensitive information or, cuss words, might bleep out or just bleep out, everything. I might completely change it to make it sound like something else. I'm not CBS News. Sorry. I'm not 60 Minutes. I will try to keep it as close to context as possible. I think this is going to be kind of fun. Hopefully that people will. We'll call or text in that 812-379-8778 number. Put that on your speed dial as you're listening to the show. Taking notes. I'm sure you're all taking notes of this show. And go back, call that number and then just, say, point A, point B, point C. Here's my thesis on, your show and what all the important, deep information that you shared. And I might play those back on the show, so it'd be almost like you're on the show, but not quite. It's the closest thing to being there. It would be almost it'll be kind of a delayed reaction to the show, and we can have a dialogue, which I think would be kind of fun for some of my listeners. And I have listeners all over the world. Let's look at some of this. Let's look at the there's a bug crawling across my screen, and I couldn't see him because the screen I had up there was black, and I put it over to this other page, and it's. And all of a sudden, I can see the bug. Let's go to there's a way to do this. Where's that? Episode Geographic Stats. That's right. Okay. Let's see what we've got here. Of course, we've got Great Britain. United States is the largest by far. Great Britain. ES, I'm not even sure where that is. Australia. Oh, Australia's got quite a few now. It's like Canada, of course. IR. So we've got Santa Clara, California is actually the most listens in of any particular city. This is the worldwide in cities. Lakewood, New Jersey is next. South Bend, Indiana, actually, which I think is probably from my wife. Big Rapids, Michigan. I think I know who you are. There's a couple people there that actually is. New York is actually a big one. London is actually a big one. Madrid, Spain. I didn't see that coming. Henderson, Kentucky. Sydney, New South Wales, Ashburn, Virginia. So I'm not sure. I think I do have some relatives out in Virginia, but I don't think that's them. I don't think they'd be listening to me. Evansville, Indiana, which is interesting. I don't know that I know anybody down there. Chicago, Illinois, there's a few there. Let's see. We got Heritage Hills, Colorado, which I didn't. That's a new one. The Massachusetts Maynard, Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, Maynard, Massachusetts. Bee Ridge, Florida, Noblesville, Indiana, Mooresville, Indiana, Orangeburg, South Carolina, Spokane, Washington, Steger, Illinois, Newark, New Jersey, Gahana, I guess it is, Lawrence, Indiana, and Greenwood, Indiana. So a lot of them are in Indiana, or at least the top numbers. That's the top 20, I think is what it is. However, there are some others around. Norway, let's see, you've got Norway, what's this right there? That was Sweden. What's that? UK, I'm trying to find this ES thing, I don't know what that was. Oh, is that right there? Yeah, that's UK. UK. Ireland, Iran, Australia. I don't know where these others are. There was something else there that was, oh, is it this right here? No, that's Australia. Yeah, okay, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what ES is. I'm not sure exactly. That's got to be something. I'm surprised. Right now, there's not. This is the past 90 days. I'm not showing much of anything down in the South America region, believe it or not. I had some there. I'm not sure what's going on with that. Spain, Portugal. Let's see what's down in here. No, I don't see anything that's ES. I can't know what that would be. That's got to be... I know I had some Russian and others for a while. Those seem to be gone. So, nothing going on there. So, okay. All right. Anyway, that gives you an idea. Yeah, it's past 90 days, according to statistics here. The stats at that. But now those people can call by going online or if you got a cell phone with an international plan. 812, and I think it's 01, I think is the U.S. code, I believe. I'm not positive of that. 812-379-8778. Leave your comments. I will probably play them on the show if it's audio, or I will read them and respond to your questions and comments and whatever else you say. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. It's a big, big fat maybe on that. Now, make sure it's, try to keep it clean. Try to keep it, concise, have some kind of cognizance about it. But I'm pretty excited about this. I think it's going to be kind of a cool addition to the show, probably one of the bigger things we're going to be doing, just to have the ability to interact with listeners. So I think this is going to be fun. And it's something that should be fun, even if you disagree with me or have a problem, or maybe you see something I don't see, or maybe you had some insight that from something I saw that or said that, wow, I didn't think of it that way. This is, I really appreciate you, whatever it is. Just encouragement, discouragement, whatever you want to try to do to me, give it your best shot. And I'll try to respond, or else I'll just call you some, childish names and hang up on you. You don't know what's going to happen. Anything can happen at this point. But I'm excited about it. 812-379-8778. 812, not 574. 812, if you call that, there's probably a number. Somebody's probably got that number. They're going to go on nuts. Keep calling in for some kind of show. And the guy keeps answering. What are you doing calling me at 3:00 in the morning? 812-379-8778. I'm here listening. Go ahead, call right now. I'm waiting. Oh, wait, I haven't posted this yet, so you're not going to hear it. So maybe you will. Maybe we'll have some callers today. Maybe we'll have some, and we'll be able to have some comments tomorrow. My guess is, I know how this stuff typically goes. Now, this is how it's going to probably go. I'm going to be promoting this number for about a month, and then I'll probably, or I might get a couple callers at the very beginning. So once in a while, there's, when I do my live shows on Rumble, there's this one guy that always shows up. It's one guy. And he never fails. It's like he's on top of it. Makes good comments, comments in the show, the thing. What do you call it? Why did my calendar just pop up? I must have clicked on something. Accidentally clicked on something there. And he makes these, you know, he's always there. Always makes these comments, always. But so I probably will have people who will comment on the regular, which is great. But hopefully it's not just one person always commenting. And it becomes the Kevin and Sam show or whatever, whoever it is out there that's hopefully get more people commenting. 812-379-8778. That's the number. And I will have it in the description as well. So you can get in there and check that out. I got to turn my calendar off. Is there a quit calendar? There you go. All right. As it popped up for some reason, I don't know what was going on. I think I accidentally clicked on something that I shouldn't have probably clicked on. I clicked on a, it came up with a notice that there was an event. I probably accidentally didn't click on the cancel. I clicked on the actual tab thing there and it opened up my calendar. So anyway, what else we got going on here? So that's Google Voice, by the way, google.com/voice. Go there and you can get on, or you can just call a number from your phone or text a number from your phone. Of course you want to put that in your contacts so you can pull it up next time. Just put it in there, the News According to Me show or whatever you want to put in there, TNA to me, whatever, what do you want to put in there? And then be able to text or call at any time. Of course, now I wonder if there's a way to put a link in the description as well. So you could just click on that. It'll take you to Google. I might put the website in there, google.com/voice. Put a link there for you so you can just go right to it. And it'll go to the page, the Google page, and you can just put in the number. Got to be a way to do that. So anyway, it's this kind of an exciting expansion of what we're doing here at this point. I'm pretty excited about it. Now, yes. So there you go. That's where we're at right now at this point. So in case you didn't get that number, 812-379-8778. I spent about 30 minutes talking about this. So let's talk about some other things. In the news, Brandon Johnson, I think it is, the mayor of Chicago. And I spent a lot of time in Chicago. And let me just tell you, there was something that always bothered me about Brandon, about this Mayor Johnson guy. I think it's his name, Johnson, Brandon, whatever his name is, the mayor of Chicago. He has seemed very phony to me when he talks and he says, tries to make a statement or makes a point. When he does any kind of debating or he repeats himself a lot. First of all, he will go over the same statement many, many times when he's in an argument with another individual or when he's in a debate with somebody. He repeats himself. This is indicative of someone who is buying time. Now, when you listen to Michelle Obama, in fact, she's been in the news again lately because she has a podcast. She probably has a million followers. Actually, and I think her show's only, I think she's only reaching like 50,000 people per show or episode or whatever, which is pathetic for somebody with that kind of notability. There are people who get a million views on their videos that are far less, have had far smaller profiles on political stuff. But so she's got this podcast thing and she talks on there. Now, when you listen to her, one of the things I can't stand about her, first of all, her voice itself, the voice quality, she does not project anything. She's always talking with this sound. It sounds like she's trying. I don't know any other way to describe this. She's constipated. I just don't understand. I don't know any other way to put it. She's I don't know how else to put it. She's struggling. Like something. Okay, let's put it this way. Like someone's stepping on her toe. That's not even accurate. But let's just put it that way. Like she's in some kind of pain that she's trying to work through. And not only that, but she constantly says, and you know what I'm saying, and she does a lot of fill words, a whole lot. Now, some people, it just kind of comes through them naturally. It's just the way, that's their natural rhythm and the way they speak. And this, unfortunately, if that's the natural rhythm she speaks with, then that means she's got a very, very slow brain, you know how what I'm saying, how the, you know, when someone can't, you know, well, you know what I mean. That's just like that. That's what I'm talking about. They can't process words very quickly. They don't have a food processor, but they probably don't have a word processor in their head. They don't. Now, it's one thing to stop, like, I'm not the fastest guy in the world. I have to stop once in a while and think about what I'm, you know, I want to make sure I word things properly or clearly, because I don't have a script here. Now, these people have scripts and they're still slowing things down. Jean-Claude Pierre, Creep, whatever her name was, the former White House staff or person that ran the press briefings. She had a script, and she still had a hard time stumbling through it. It was absolutely pathetic. And we get what we get now. Oh my word. There's no mincing words. There's no stammering around. There's no looking down at the ground trying to come up with an answer. Every time I would see Jean-Pierre, Karine Jean-Pierre, every time I would see her or hear her speaking, I felt like I was listening to especially when she was challenged on anything. To me, it sounded like a 10-year-old who'd just been confronted with having their hand in the cookie jar, and they had to come up with some kind of explanation as to why their hand was in the cookie jar. That's what it reminded me of all the time, every time she spoke. Whether I just was just listening to her or whether I was actually watching her, her body language is very much that way. Couldn't look the reporter in the eye, or when she did, it was this, oh, I've got some backing here. I've got this guy, you know, I've got this person now, whoever's asking me this question, I'm going to look back at him and I'm going to really go after him. That's when they're confident that they have a lie that they can really pin on you. In other words, they're lying, but they've got it so well figured out that you can't. I've got this one locked. This is a locked up lie. That's the way to put it. Got a lock on this one. Or when they're really telling the truth, body language changes completely, and they're just flat telling you the truth, and it's very straightforward, and they can talk very clearly. And then they start the stammering again when they start talking about anything else. And, you know, they're lying again. Make no mistake, that's just kind of the way people deal. See, anyway. So she, Michelle Obama, same thing. She's struggling with words, doing this kind of thing. And I hear this in certain people's voices. Brandon Johnson wasn't that way. It wasn't that he wasn't speaking something that doesn't, that he just says lies a lot. It's that he's phony. This guy is a puppet. And I wasn't able to figure this out initially. I thought the guy was just a genuine guy. This guy is bought and owned by the unions, the teachers union. He doesn't run anything else. He doesn't know anything else. He knows a little bit about education and the teaching system in Chicago. Beyond that, he knows very little about the way Chicago runs. And I'm seeing that a lot in one of the biggest probably telltale signs of a good administration is whether or not they can the infrastructure projects that they have. It's a big barometer as to how well they're managing their office. Now, many times there's a lot of carryover. So if the former administration, the former mayor, who we all know, some people call her Beetlejuice. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because she looks like the guy. Maybe I had something to do with it. Or that's what they think. I don't know. Just saying. The one who had to go out and have her hair done and everything during COVID because, you know, it's important because she's in the public eye. She has to look good. So she had to get her hair done while none of the rest of us could. I was talking about that yesterday. I don't think I've ever made that fully point. But so you have to stay tuned to the next show because some of these points that I'm not covering fully today, I'll cover fully tomorrow. I'll complete my thought tomorrow. And you can call in at 812-379-8778 or text in. Say, hey, you never finished your thought on that. Anyway, I'm relying on you guys to keep me on track. We have... So it's the previous administration, so to speak, tends to go. They have these projects that they get going. Of course, when they come up close to getting reelected, the election time, that's when they put a lot of these things in place. You'll see. You can almost always tell when it's an election year for a mayor or for a governor because all of a sudden there's all these projects that start happening. Oh, look at all the improvements we're making. We're right in the middle of all these improvements. This is time immemorial. This is the way they do it. I learned this probably back in, oh my word, is it the 80s? I saw signs of it and it piqued my interest. I guess you'd say it caught my attention. When a mayor who was put into place as kind of a... He was there temporarily. He was a interim mayor because a certain individual won the election. The mayor that was there, he was halfway through his term. I think it's a 4-year term in the local town here where I was. I wasn't a resident of that city, but it was the closest town to me at the time. He was elected as the mayor, and I had to deal with him because I was doing some business at the airport, and the city was the city airport. And he appoints a board basically over the airport, and he kind of tries to stay keep his hands out of it. This is the way a lot of them do this. They'll appoint a board of whatever over to oversee certain things that they don't know anything about. So he appoints this board. Well, I had some issues with the board, so I tried to go straight to the mayor. And it has nothing to do with the story I'm telling you about. But this mayor, he actually was pretty good at, you know, he was a Democrat. And he was very, very left-leaning in many ways. However, he was very cognizant and very much aware of the fact that he had a lot of his peers, a lot of his constituents, a lot of the people that he was representing there were very conservative, extremely conservative county that his city is in. So he would try to be more of a centrist, didn't try to lean left too far. Now, there was an election held. I believe it was during the Bill Clinton era, if I remember right. Pretty sure it was. It would have been, see, Clinton was elected in, was it? It wasn't 92. It was, maybe it was 90. It was 92. Yeah, it was 92. And this new mayor steps in. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was 94 when he stepped out because this new mayor stepped in as an interim mayor. And the South Bend mayor... No, actually, I take this all back. It had nothing to do with the presidential election. It had nothing to do with that. So it was in 96. I was thinking it was 96. So it had nothing to do with the presidential cycle. It was the mayoral sector cycle as well as the governorship cycle. The mayor of South Bend, Indiana, became the governor of Indiana. As soon as he stepped in as governor of Indiana, he appointed, of course, the governor, the toll road, the northern toll road here, Indiana, is now under the charge of the governor's management. All of a sudden, our mayor got swooped out of office and was put in charge of the toll road, which didn't last very long because they sold the toll road off to a foreign entity to manage. But in the meantime, we lost our mayor in the middle of his term. They put in an interim mayor. And the guy was, oh, I'm just going to do this. I'm just interim. I don't want to do this job. I'm just here to be an interim thing, a position. Now, I know this guy. I worked for him for about 3 days. Yeah, I worked for him for 3 days in a business when I was very young. And I'm just telling you, I left for a reason. I quit after 3 days. And the biggest reason was I just didn't want to work for this guy. I found another job that didn't pay any better. But I knew I couldn't be there. This is not going to work. I left. This guy was put in as interim mayor, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a joke. This is not going to be good. Of course, halfway into his internship, he was supposed to just be, he said he wasn't going to run again. He was just going to be there as a fill-in for a couple of years. Of course, after the second year, he realized, hey, this is a pretty cushy job. It's a nice job. I better keep this thing. He runs. He actually runs for the office. And his big slogan all year long during his whole year of campaigning was, we should keep it going. If it's working, why should we change it? So it was it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. Look at all these projects we got going on. Because he had all these projects going on. The roads were all torn up. Everything was all messed up at that time. This is back in the late 90s. Mid to late 90s. He's claiming, look at all this progress we're making. Making all this progress. Of course, then it took several years later before there was any real progress made with any of the roads and streets and everything else that was going on. They start fixing up the streets and patching the roads in election years. First couple of years, they don't care about them at all because they're in power. They don't care. The budget isn't, it's just amazing how they do all that stuff. And so all of a sudden, all of his projects were going. So this is the same thing. Everybody does it. I've learned this since the 90s and even back into the 80s because this what was happening then. Same thing. I heard that kind of slogan type thing with the previous mayor, and I realized it really came to light when I knew the guy who was in the mayor role and saw it again. And I was like, this is a trend. I'm seeing this all over the place, and it wasn't just in the mayoralship. And that was the closest place I saw it, but I also saw it in bigger government, even in the national election cycles. They would use it as, we got keep going. And then I even see this on smaller levels. I've seen this in union voting. You'll have some union director and some leadership, the MEC, the LEC, everybody that's out there. They'll have something going on and they're making some bad decisions and things are going poorly. The negotiations are going poorly in the contract negotiations, whatever it is. And they got a backlog of grievances that go back two or three years, taking them forever to get the things settled. And the grievances, of course, then what ends up happening is, right now the main thing we need here is we need a lot of experience. We have the experience. We're the ones here with the experience. We don't want to vote somebody else in right now in the middle of these negotiations because. And because we need this experience to do this. And my argument was, it's your experience that got us into this mess. I don't think we can do any worse by putting in somebody else with some fresh ideas. I don't care if they're bad ideas. You've already shown us what bad ideas are. All you've given us is, the only experience you've got is giving us bad ideas. And the union group, they should have sued the union. So what should have happened? But the union ended up decided to sue the company, which the company was only partially culpable in the whole thing. The union was just as culpable as they were. Big major grievance for the company wide, of which we all got ripped off. So the lawyers made plenty of money. Don't worry about them. That's good. Thank goodness they made their money. Anyway. So Brandon, I think they're looking at a $1 to $3 billion deficit in their fiscal management. Now Rahm Emanuel, who used to be I think he was the chief of staff or somebody for President Obama, became the mayor of Chicago. Yeah, I wonder if he had some connections there. And the I think he was there for two terms, maybe. Stepped down. And then this guy comes in. Apparently they had a meeting of some sort, and apparently they didn't get along too well. Because from that meeting forward, they have been at each other. And Rahm Emanuel basically says he's an idiot. He's calling the current mayor an idiot. I don't think he's said it with that bluntly, but it's obvious they don't like each other. They're making comments back and forth about. In fact, Brandon was on some talk show the other day, Chicago, local news thing, and he was talking about how Rahm Emanuel learned all of his bad the things that got Chicago into their mess. He's blaming all the mess in Chicago on previous administrations, basically on Rahm Emanuel, saying, "Well, he learned it from people in, because he was there. He was the Capitol." He learned it there. That's where he learned all this stuff. This is the blueprint, basically, is what he said, from the Capitol, from what he learned. And well, what does that tell you about? Because where he learned it was from the Democrats. He was there during Democrat, and he tries to twist it around and say it's Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. It's the same playbook. And it's kind of right there, but at the same time, it's like, you're talking about establishment. You're talking about the Democrats and the way the Democrats handle the playbook. You see, you can have a playbook, and it all depends on the coach. Same playbook, different coach, you can get a whole different team. You can get a whole different outcome on your game. Because when you choose to run certain plays or do the way you do certain plays, might be the same plays in the playbook, but you've got a different coach there making the decisions, training the people who need to be trained, and whether it's the captain of the team or whoever it is that's making some decisions. That's really what matters. Unfortunately, the playbook we're dealing with is the establishment playbook for the most part. That's where Trump comes in. I don't know any other way to describe. He's kind of the common sense president. He's just choosing the common sense path on a lot of these things. Now, this whole thing about him, he's talking about reopening Alcatraz and Rikers Island. I guess Rikers Island is still a prison. But he's talking about Alcatraz. And it would cost a lot of money to put people there. It would cost a lot of money to reopen it and to expand it to the point where you can only expand it so far as an island. However, and there's ways we can put people in prison without, Alcatraz is not that impenetrable. It's not that unique. You could put some people, you could certainly build someplace else to do that. However, again, I think this is it's the way the president, the current, the way Trump spins the media. Because he's not talking about Alcatraz. He's talking about how bad we have some of these prisoners we have. Some of these people we have in our country need to be locked up and they need to be in a very secure place. And I think he's making the point by bringing up Alcatraz that these people still exist. We still have crime issues with crime in this country, and some of them very heinous. And yet we can't talk about it. We can't use the words because you'll be demonetized. I don't, go ahead, demonetize me because I'm not monetized. But I do have a phone number, 812-379-8778. You can call or text anytime you want. 24/7, leave messages that might get deleted, or they might get played. You never know. It's a gamble. It's exciting. It's like living on the edge. Folks, I'm coming up on an hour of talking about my phone number now. I have this is Wishy Washy Wednesday, and it's been pretty wishy washy. The only thing that's not wishy washy is the phone number, other than the fact that I gave the wrong area code out to begin with. 812-379-8778. Let me know how you feel about that wrong area code that stuck in there. But the rest of it is all history. So we have tomorrow. I might do a show this evening. It will be recorded this evening for tomorrow morning. That might be what happens. We'll have to see how that works out. Friday morning, I am really pretty hopeful, actually, that I may be able to have a live show from the International Studio. That's my hope. That's my hope and my plan. I'm going to see how that works out. because the dogs are an issue. I have to have the dogs with me, at least one of them. And I have some other work I need to do because the yard needs to be mowed and some other things need to be done at my studio. So that's nobody else does that for me. I just do all the stuff. I got a lot of work to do there, actually. But I kind of need to get my truck fixed before I can do that. It's just, then I got to get this fixed before that and that fixed before this. And I got to get, God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day. See ya.